Hello and welcome to another edition of Shadow of Love. I am Holly, your co-host. I am a writer, intimacy coach, love great white sharks, all things Halloween, and all things spooky. Ernest, my co-host, want to say hey?
How you doing, everybody? I'm Ernest. I'm the co-host of the show. I am a mixologist, a bar manager, a restaurant manager, a Southern cuisine chef, a lover of all things old and full of soul, and I am glad to be here today.
And with us, we have Shadow Lounge royalty, the man himself, Justin Strong. Hey, Justin. Justin, you want to give us a little just background?
How you guys doing? For those who don't know, again, my name is Justin Strong, founder, co-owner of Shadow Lounge in Pittsburgh, PA, that ran from 2000 to 2013 as a performance venue and lounge, and started off one size and then ended up bigger size, and a lot of great talent came through those doors. And I think we're up to about 26, 27 Shadow Lounge babies made through connections through those doors. Now, they weren't made in the Shadow.
Some of them might have been made.
None birthed.
Yeah. I certainly have tried, but yeah. don't that blue room count.
Yeah, it'd be really awkward meeting you with all the shadow babies and just huddle them in the blue room. You're like, why is this so familiar? I've never been here before, but I feel
it's like, turn the blue room into a nursery. Like a baby
shadow lounge daycare.
Yeah. Oh,
mommy got a party. No, there you go. Mama. Here's my coat. My baby, my coat.
So, you know, we really want to, this is just the God honest truth, man. We were talking about it last week. Thank you so much for giving us your blessing in this. I really do mean that. It's a really good thing for us, like, to all get back together, because I remember when we bumped into each other, what was that? Was that 2018? That was like 2018 when you were at Spirit.
It was a random day.
Yeah, it was so random.
It was at Spirit.
Yeah,
and then you randomly showed out of thin air.
Yeah, it was like, serendipity. Because I looked, because when I walked in, I saw Holly. I looked dead in her face, and I smiled at her, but she was totally out of context, right? And I intentionally came there to say hello to you, and it was so weird that she was sitting right next to me the whole time, because I'm like, yeah, maybe that does look like Holly, but that ain't Holly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was like, we always say it's serendipitous. Like, that's our word for the show, is serendipity. To just stay together, like how everything fell into place like that was just a, like a stars aligning kind of moment.
Yeah. Well, I always say one of my little own theories of life, universe, and all that is the same rules apply on the micro level as they do on the macro level. So if you look at, you know, an atom with the nucleus and the protons, there's an orbit, right? You go to the macro level, solar systems, there's a sun, there's planets, and there's an orbit. So any, you know, from the smallest to the biggest, it kind of follows that line. So I think even on our scale, pinpoint us in that line, I think in our lives, there's certain people that orbit you, and they may come around once every so often, but they'll stay in your range for like a period of time, then disappear again, like Mars or Saturn. And some people that are there daily, like the moon or the sun. With all the people in the world, you're not gonna meet everybody, but somehow you can be walking a random street corner in New York City and be like, oh, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Too many stories. Like, first time to Las Vegas, And I run into my one of my first crushes at Pitt that I haven't seen in years. Just she called my name out. And I turned, I was like, what in the world? And yeah, just happenstance. So I think certain people are tied together and tethered, whether you like it.
What, yeah, whether you like.
That's the kicker, right?
The universe don't know good or bad. It's like, yo, this it is
just,
what it is.
Yeah, it just flows. Like, it's like it's a disclaimer on the universe. Like, we're not responsible for lost or broken lives.
or the you need the bad for the good and vice versa. So one doesn't exist without the other.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny because it's always been it's been a good time. We've had like really, really weird times. You and me have had some weird times. I remember the night you got your liquor license when I was walking in the lounge and you were calling me on the phone at the same time. Like those kind of weird moments. Like, I remember you told me we were, it was a Saturday night. And you said, we're behind the bar and the show is about to start. I'll tell you who it was. It was Ab. Ab was there. And me.
Ab and the Sojourners.
Yeah. It was Ab and the Sojourners. Man. And we were sitting behind the bar and we were doing Washington Apples before the show started. And you and you said to me, don't let the lounge ruin your life. And we toasted and we did a shot and you walked off. And I'm like, no better words.
My bad.
No,
sorry.
Nah, it's funny because like there's so many people, you're right. There's so many people that have come and gone and been created because of the lounge. It's an important place and experience to talk about. What do you think, Holly?
Yeah, I do. I think there's just been, I think this fits with the universe thing, right? I think you get a certain kind of synergy that comes and collects, and then that creates things, and then it brings other people in, and you just have that energy draw. And I don't feel like, even though the lounge has been gone for, you know, almost a decade now, I don't feel like it's over. Is that weird? But
nah.
Yeah. Like that energy is still there. And I still keep in touch with so many people that are from that experience and track their careers and what they're doing. And there's some really phenomenal people have come out of all of that. And it's just kind of fascinating that you can have that experience that bursts all these things and then puts them out in the universe. And then you can come back and still find each other and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Over the years in the Pittsburgh scene, I've seen fractals, remnants of Shadow, because it definitely, like, obviously it closed but also like pollinated outward. And I think my original idea in the role, I always wanted a place like Shadow Lounge to play, was that, you know, that home base, you know, not the biggest, shiniest, fanciest place with all the superstars, but that random ass bar, like in Harlem, where everybody's like, no, this is where everybody, you know, all the greats started here.
Came through
my own that, and for whatever time we were in. And I would say we accomplished that, on, you know, many levels based off of just people's fondness
Well,
go ahead, Ernest.
No, there's so many. It's weird because you're right, so many people did come through there. And to this day, I honestly feel that we got Daru discovered. You know what I mean? I forgot who was playing, but they needed a drummer real fast.
No. Well, we talk about serendipity.
Yeah. You know who
the drummer? Ab.
Yeah, was that Ab?
Yeah.
Oh wow, because we both looked at each other. We were both on the stage and we said at the same time, like we were Scooby-Doo characters, let's call Daru at the same time. Yeah. And then look,
that was Nate, that was a Nate the Fat event. Soul Soul Sessions or Garden Soul Sessions? Soul Garden.
Soul Garden, yeah, it was Soul Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun. Ooh, those are fun nights.
You know, we do these reflections and people come up to me and they're like, oh, I missed this, you gonna do this again? I'm like, you gotta keep in mind, like, it's time and space. So there was a thing that was a space where everybody came in, you know, this defined area, but it was also a time that we can't go back to. And I think it's lightning in a bottle. It's like all these different things had to happen for the end result, the what we're seeing. And, you know, we can't redo that again because I'm not 21 trying to open up a spot. Definitely not trying to lose the amount of money that I've lost. And I'm definitely trying to be sleep by like 11. There's a lot of, it would be the wackest ass lounge to be opening. Like, what? Why are they only open Thursday, Saturday, every other week? Those are my going out days.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to go to a hot auntie contest. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
You know, sexy jitney fest. Nobody wants to.
You go, man. Parade on stage with your 1K balance, you'll get some takers.
Yeah.
Be like, let me see your, I want to credit Sesame. Let me see your score. Okay. Trying to go to Ritter's?
and you can't eat anything on the menu no more because of your Lipitor. Because your peel, your pressure.
Motherfucker, you can't eat grapefruit no more.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
You sick bitch. Can't eat grapefruit. That's how sick you are. Can't eat fruit. This fruit messes with my well-being.
Well, Justin, yeah. with like the concept of the show, you know, we talk a lot about topics related to love. And so we wanted to talk with you about the business of love. And I not quite like, I brought this up in our last episode, not the like day-to-day kind of business of keeping love, you know, going, but what is it like to own a business and be surrounded by people when you're in a relationship? Like, how do you maintain those efforts and how do you stave off all the people, you know, trying to get in your lounge of love?
You are trying to get a mother in trouble. Bleed this out or block my eyes or something. I can, okay. Okay,
you didn't want to pick the topic.
Let me go to this whiteboard real quick and black out some. There's gonna be a lot of editing. I would say in general, with no specific year or location or person. I mean, it's hard for me to even think back that far, but definitely over my course of being there, I was in and out of relationships. Obviously, the last one was my current co-parent with Mia when we dated and then eventually got pregnant. Got married in Shadow Lounge. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, it was over before Shadow Lounge ended. So I'm trying to get that timeline. But still, yeah, there's a, I mean, if you think about it, open when I was 21, technically, because the next day was my birthday. So at midnight, I turned 22, but it just sounds better. At 21, so 21, open a space. Now, at that time, just we used to be open till like 6 in the morning. There's no liquor license. And you created, you know, analog Brita filter or analog algorithm that kind of like attracted a certain group of people through those doors that had similar likings and they're around same age and trying to find themselves and find people they like. So there was a lot of good vibing going on in there. And when you are the conductor of that, you can reap some benefits. That is very hard to, it's like I'm in the food court. I know I'm going to the taco place, but if they step out in front of me with the chicken teriyaki on the stick.
Yeah.
I'm not making a commitment. I just that's all I wanted. I knew I should have threw the toothpick away, but now I'm in trouble because of a toothpick. Some for some yaki? Anyway. putting it in my face. yeah, there's a lot of wild stories. All fun, all part of growing up at that age. A lot of pressure. You know, I think some things change a good 2 years into the liquor license era. Just one, the stakes were higher, the liability, responsibilities of having a license. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people will tell you, like, over those years, we started canceling out all the Peavy's Playhouse rules. You know, it's like, I can't do that, or can't do, and then, you know, we definitely had some feedback and people didn't like that. And people weren't able to just hang out till 5 a.m, you know. So that tapered a lot of extracurricular activity that, ironically, with the liquor license, it was a lot easier to be in a relationship because, and this is also running parallel with my age. So 26 years old, get a liquor license. So about 27, 28, and you start being more responsible steward of that license. The opportunities, you don't really see them because you're focused on more important things. And it made having, you know, relationships where you didn't step out of pocket a lot easier. Because prior to that, then, you know, there's many times I wanted to get into the fun also. So I'm, you know, if I was staffed up, I'm enjoying it like a consumer. I'm on the floor dancing, flirting, you know, taking little trips downstairs to the green room, coming back up later. What's up, Jerome?
Yeah, because you got
my pants are in your bathroom.
You got
your pants are smoking a joint.
You got to show people around the place as the owner. You got to show people around if they're really interested in the whole. Lounge experience, yeah.
During the renovations, when we broke the other side and there's, you know, suitable rooms that but weren't open to the public, you can just dip to like unfinished Ava. Yeah, kind of the hype and thrills and those earlier days. Minus I did have a friend by a good year during those early days where I was actually on good behavior. But yeah, once everything, I think probably when the after hours started with like deeper, the house night and with Crash when SMI jumped into the mix. That's where, I mean, you have nights that start at 2 a.m. And you just got done having a whole bunch of fun. And now people are coming in for, you know, late night fun and a little bit more open with options. And yeah, the late nights were definitely, maybe that's what was it, the liquor license put all these, capped all these fun shit. It was like, you can't do that no more, gotta be done at 2, you know, so those opportunities didn't, you know.
Did you have more fun before the liquor license, you know what I mean? Like, which one, I mean, one is more profitable, of course, and with more responsibility, you know what I mean? Like, did you feel like you had to grow up after you got the license, so to speak? As far as like watching your step, just watching.
Probably within the second year of the license, you know, definitely was like, we gotta do things a little different. But yeah, those early days, And again, with my age, I'm 22, 23, 24, 25. And you have, you're the young one sometimes, because you still have early 30, mid 30 year olds coming out and partying, and then you get to be, oh, this is you? Oh, you're so young, you know? And then sometimes you get the older ladies and all that stuff. And yeah, so it was a good old time.
Yeah.
It's just.
I remember being like the ambassador of Ava. Like, you know, what was the most dangerous, but the most fun nights was when it was dead.
Like, nope.
Don't come in there on a dead night, because if you know what I mean, like you're about to find yourself on a date. You're on a double date. Like you're on a date right now. You're on a date.
I done locked up early. It's like, you know what? Hey, let's just watch this movie in the blue room. Close this curtain. People are like, y'all open?
Nope. Rumor had it, Justin. Rumor had it that The Professional was your coded movie for your get down time.
I did enjoy The Professional and Pulp Fiction were on my hit list.
It literally and figuratively. Yeah,
those are always, I think they were on VHS. That's hilarious. VHS.
Keep rolling there. The TV out.
like a high school teacher rolling the TV out on that little stand and shit.
Be watching movies on a overhead projector.
Yeah, those were like people never, you know, I don't want to give up all the secrets, but yeah, if you walk in there on a slow night and you're cute, it's you and your girlfriend. And there's a couple bartenders, you're about to have a night. You know, not a bad night, but yeah, you might have to see where the DJ booth gonna be. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've walked in on those occasions sometimes, like just not on the records, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it runs parallel with, I think, on average people's growth. I mean, mine, I can reflect back to, you know, where I'm at now to looking back then. Like, I definitely had a non-traditional 20s. You know, while usually during that time, you're out socializing, making connection, growing relationships. I was providing and orchestrating, producing the space to allow people to do that. But I didn't really participate that much in it, because you're now, operator, producer, responsible role of that. So it's really strange kind of looking back, like, oh, I missed. It's like missing really prominent albums. Like, actually, no, I never listened to that. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah.
On 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying today. I was like, you know what? I don't think I ever heard this album. Like, just threw it on. But that was 03, and I was like, oh man, yeah, Mama's Gun coming out, Bilal. Yeah, I wasn't listening to 50 Cent. But, you know, you can just, you know, miss normal, traditional pathways, you know, and it definitely kind of probably affect some things now for me, but yeah, I mean, things can't go back. They, you know, they had to happen a certain way, and I enjoy a lot of those years, some good times.
Do you have a story you'd be willing to share?
No. No, my brother,
you got to get your own.
Nah, there still may be a political future someday. I don't know. You're telling a story to talk about, and that's why we never had pepper and salt shakers out. So anyway. No more long neck bottles. We switched over to canned beer. It was just a lot of fun, man. And, you gotta provide those social gathering spaces for people where you kind of set loose rules and allow a little bit of, make people feel like they're getting away with something or breaking a rule. It's kind of like I always say, it's like setting the speed limit. I put 65 because I know you're gonna go 75.
Yeah.
But the fact that I watch you go 70 and I go, but I don't do anything, I go, then you're like, look at me, I'm getting away. I'm breaking your rules. Now go 80, now we don't have a problem. But so it's like these spaces that allow that, yeah, these are the house rules, but like, especially at that age, you gotta just kind of find your spot and have these random and sometimes ill-advised hookups in a corner somewhere, like just random shit. Like it needs to happen. Someone needs to cultivate that and wipe it down and sterilize.
I don't know
nowadays.
I don't know why Purell did not come in as a sponsor early in the game.
I don't know. If we were still around, I think the jewelry would be out. It's like it either came from Wuhan or the Blue Room. I'm not sure.
You see a hazmat crew taking the couches out.
Fauci doing press conference. Like, yeah, we found it. Better flip that ottoman over. You just need to have these spaces, and I don't see those options nowadays. And it's funny being back at Pitt, playing the Ronnie Dangerfield role, going back to school old. And I reached out to a couple of my classmates. And I was just like, what do you guys do? And they're like 21, I just turned 21. I'm like, even before 21, like, where do you guys go? Where do you grind? Like, there's nowhere to grind in Oakland anymore. Like just a spot to just go out and dance and lean against a wall. And there's like places to eat, places to drink. The one place that did have a DJ floor, a dance floor and a DJ booth, didn't have a DJ. And the bartender said they just, people go on the internet jukebox and they'll just select the songs they want to hear. In the, for those who understand, Oakland section of Pittsburgh is like the college campus, Pitt, CMU, Carlo. And back in, my first round at Pitt, 96 to 2000, I mean, you had Club Log, you had Stratus, the Beehive, you had all these different places to like gather and do something other than shit. I don't think any of them actually have food other than eat.
Yeah.
You can dance, you can experience live music, like all this stuff. And I just don't see it directly in particular on campus for Oakland for that age group. And I'm just like, I need some things close to home where you can stumble out and bring someone sign them into the dorms or something,
Yeah, they need a place where they can, make bad decisions.
Yes, in a safe way.
In a safe way, like, that DJ was dope. Let's go, And then they don't have that. It's unfortunate. That's how I feel old, because we can actually say, like, I remember the time.
Yeah.
Because, we're going to talk about the lounge like Isley's. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the time there was, we're old. We're old with it. We're blessed to have that experience. And I just, I feel bad that kind of venue and that kind of, because, people don't realize too how safe it was. It was really safe. It was a safe place for folks to get their blend on. You know what I mean? And they don't have that. That's regrettable.
And it was a safe place before having a safe place was trendy.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't call it that. We were just like, just chill out.
I used to really enjoy like watching thug dudes walk into a candlelit room and totally chill out.
Well, you saw the literally like the stress and the weight of like being tough and hard, just like, oh,
yeah,
I can actually be myself. I have to keep this persona on to survive. And I remember this one time, something was going on and dude came to the door. We're at the door checking IDs and collecting money. Comes to the door and just has his hands up. He literally walked to the door to get frisked. And I forget how I was with the door. I just got looked. I was like, I just gave him a high five. Like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, okay, I didn't know. I'm like, but if, and now you're onto a bigger subject going on a tangent, but it's like, especially in Pittsburgh and Black nightlife options, like how many places do you go where you don't get treated like a criminal before you walk in? Whether it's for good, you know, reasons because something happened or not, just psychological, got to be like, for me to go in and have fun, make sure I'm not carrying anything on my body.
Yeah.
Running Spear for 3 years was, I'll say they're probably around 85%. Yeah, you know, and then even on specific party days that were more Black led, Black focused, you know, that number might be flipped, 70-80%, you know, Black folks on those specific nights. And it could be both floors, and it could be 600-800 people through the doors the whole time, Black, white, whatever. No pat down and not a problem. And so that always kind of bothers me, especially coming from a place like Shadow Lounge where, you know, if we felt we needed to do that, we got rid of the night. Yeah, I mean, you have that and you adjust. I mean, you can't, it's not a private club. So like the tea light candles set a tone.
Yeah. Type of music
game sets a tone. If we're playing Mama's Gun versus Get Rich and Die Trying, it sets a tone. If you're uncomfortable from not seeing your regular domestic beer available, are you comfortable with trying something new? So like all those things filter people out. Probably more so to trying something new. You don't got no Bud, you ain't got no Coors, you ain't got no Miller. I remember one dude was like, I was like, nah, but we got all these other, I mean, they're all from PA, a lot of it's local. We got blah, blah, blah. I'll just have a water. I'll just have a Coca-Cola. I'm gonna be sober today.
I'd rather be sober than something new.
And we had Blue Moon before Coors bought it from Blue Moon. And people used to look at Blue Moon, what's this? Soon Coors buy it. I have a Blue Moon. I'm like, dude, that's marketing. It's the same thing, but you know, so you control the atmosphere that way. And you know, you make it uncomfortable. Or it's like, hey, get comfortable or be uncomfortable and leave. But we just, you know, we just don't do certain things here. And I think that gave, once you get past that part of like, is it safe? Do I have to like be in the corner looking at people's body language? Is they having a fun conversation? If you don't got to do all of that, then, you know, like a Maslow hierarchy needs type of thing, that first survival safety is met, then you get into like, all right, the social. Now we can be social. Now I'm free to just holler.
Yeah, I remember, because we're kind of similar in the same way, because I started running a bar when I was 21 out in the valley. And I remember that every time there was a fight, Tupac was playing on the jukebox. For some reason, Tupac was playing. I'm aging myself because I'm a little older than you. Pac was playing every time a fight jumped off. Pac was on the jukebox. So what I did was I called the vendor up and I put nothing but like, no one has ever gotten shot with like Hot Sex on a Platter playing, like no one, there's, you know, so yeah, you can't, yeah. So what I did was I removed all of the, I took all the gangster shit off the jukebox, all of it, replaced it with R&B and, you know, progressive hip hop, neo soul. Now, did we make money on the jukebox like we used to? No, but as far as like replacing mirrors and, you know, tables and stuff like that, like the cops kind of offset it.
Or customers that were just there to enjoy themselves now are thinking twice about coming back.
Yeah, after that, I think we only had two fights.
Now I got to worry about safety before I can even be social.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Holly was asking about like balancing love and relationships in it too. It's a hard hustle.
This is the balance.
Yeah, there is no balance. There is no balance in trying to have healthy, you see how I looked off to the side, like to have a healthy, healthy, stable, you know, long lasting relationship. Yeah, it's hard to manage because you have to have one. It's not even just you. You have to have a secure part, somebody, a partner who's secure in themselves, you know?
That's why I would get all the time, like, oh, you gotta be doing X, Y, Z.
Nah.
And even spirit, and I'm not the best communicator of feelings, but I'm like, if I came home at a reasonable time, that means I dig you.
Yeah.
It's like, I was at 2, we had, you know, a packed house, multiple registers to break down, clean the whole place up, and I'm home by 4?
You're the one. You are the one. You are good.
Where, at what point in time did I even have a chance to do anything? Like, I didn't, you know, so now if I'm coming home at 6:30, question all day. But yeah, that confidence in the partner is crucial, because I used to get calls at like 2:01. When you done?
Yeah. I lost one over the lounge. As soon as I started there, they were like, oh, you know, it wasn't that I was trying to keep a promise to a friend. It was just like ass and titties. That's all they saw was ass and titties. They didn't see the, you know, the obligation and, you know, like, hey, I promised somebody. it really is hard because people see all of the fun. They don't know that when you're in the fun, yeah, you may enjoy what you do, but you're not in the fun. You're providing, you're providing the fun. You know what I mean? Like,
you're the sober person.
You're technically.
And you're just watching.
You're watching the show. You're providing.
Yeah.
You're setting the stage. And it's really hard when people come in. What I did was I would just never tell anybody I was dating somebody. They'd have to find out for themselves. And if I was dating somebody, they can't come to the spot unless, you know, until it goes public or whatever. Like, this is, don't become to the spot. Because
hang out at the end of the bar.
Yeah. Because you're going to see something that you don't
while you're running to get ice.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm like, I'm getting ice. What are you? Another, like a random customer, like, hey.
You know, who is that? Why was he in your face? Because I work here.
You know? Yeah.
Because I work here. You know, it's really weird because people really think that on one end, you do have access to different partners. Like, sure, you can do it, but it can also make it awkward and sticky.
Yeah. Well, you learn that also.
Yeah. Yeah. You do learn. Yeah. It does get awkward and sticky. Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah. There's kind of been awkward situations and this is even before the expansion, so I'm just talking about small ass shadow lounge. Couldn't go hide in another room. No, it was bad. It was like one time I was, oh, this is going to sound terrible. I'm not giving any date range. It was before the liquor license. Well, I guess I gave a date range before the expansion. But I was like putting the mic cords together on the stage. I'm on stage. This is a low stage, the original stage. And I looked out and might have been four young ladies I was in conversations with. In conversations with each other. It was like two over there, two over. For some reason, I think it's six, but I'm, well, just don't make me sound like a hoe. Four, and various stages of hanging out and talking and ending stages, unbeknownst to them, of talking. And I was the busiest I ever been. Oh, gotta go. I gotta put these toilet paper in squares. They all gotta be the same size. I'll be right back. It's just, please leave. That's never fun. That's never fun. They know where to find you.
You can't, and it's your spot. Like, I've had awkward moments like that. Like, ooh, I wish I had some ninja smoke right now. Just like, ooh, click my heels together, or like, pray like Jenny on Forrest Gump. Like, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away. Like, how am I going to get out of this shit that I did to myself? So, yeah.
I think that those experiences also help shape maturity. Because you hit your head enough times, like, yeah, don't do that. And you're talking about balance, right? So then it's almost like value and what something is worth. So all our decision making is based off the value, one thing to another, regardless of the titles we may have, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wives, whatever. Our decision to do or don't do something is, before, yeah, going in this corner, messing around with, you know, and this random chick, or having multiple girls you're talking to, and they can all find you at any given time. That used to be worth the headache and for the experience. But then eventually, you're like, nah, it ain't worth. Would I love to do that? Yeah, that'd be fucking fun. Is it worth it? Nope. And so as you get older, you start making those decisions like that. And it's, yeah, I could have access, but I can already play out in my head, because of experience, how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
Like I could.
Well, let's talk about, you know, you have a daughter now, right? So that experience of love, and she's a Shadow Lounge baby. And how does that shape you as a man now in your relationship to love in the world, having that interaction?
And I always wonder myself, like, if I had a dude, would I like him as much? Like, I'm not sure, but like, having a daughter, you know, amazing, the irony. I knew it was gonna happen whenever it was gonna happen. I was like, it's gonna be a girl. I have a suspicion. You get this natural, like, protector mode comes on. And you want to, you know, keep her innocent as long as possible. And you want to show her the best examples of what a boy or a man should be and behave. So that also, you know, you got to check some of your decision makings. Because that will go into a factor nowadays. Like, I want to introduce my daughter to her. Like, nah, like that literally goes in. Like, nah, you cool, but I ain't bringing you around the child. And I can look at the pre-daughter and daughter days, post-daughter days, and it's. Yeah, and again, with age and experience, and I think you also kind of like build on value, whether that's family or career or real estate or just wealth or savings. So it's less you want to risk also. 22, 23, 26, you know, renting with roommates and, you know, whatever, no responsibility. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, you want. I want to do the wildest things. And then you're like, yeah, I want to, but my back, first of all, my knees, and it's almost 10 o'clock. When is this going down? Now, hold on, let me see if I can tell this story. Yeah, I'm past it. Okay. So I'm in New York on a business trip for an organization I was working for. Then I had to go to Seattle, you know, for a day. And I was supposed to catch a plane in the mornings, but instead I was at a strip club, made kind with this one stripper. She invited me. I'm talking about, like, she came and sat down next to me and started a conversation. And she just was introducing me to all the strippers. Then got invited to go to the tunnel in New York with them after they got off of work. So I meet up with them at 3:30. We catch a cab to the tunnel. Crazy shit goes down in the tunnel. Then she's talking about, we're all going to get a room when you spend the night and then you get up. And so I'm sitting there like, I'm going to be in a motel room with like six strippers in New York. This is crazy. But they told me this like around like 4:30, and I kept on looking at the time, and I'm like, it's 5:30. I'm like, when is this hotel room thing happening? And they're like, oh, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, nope. Yeah, had to leave. Had to do it, couldn't do it. I discovered the gummies during pandemic. It was great. I got to apologize to all the people over the Shadow Lounge years that I yelled at for smoking weed. it's just delicious.
It's the best. You were after school special about the weed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, not, yeah.
You know, but it's all good. You learn and you grow, you know.
Hey, I deserve to start a drug habit at my 40s.
Why not?
Back to school, get a Visaliner.
That's what your 40s are for.
Yeah, 40s are for that.
How's love treating you these days, Justin?
Oh, man, that's...
What's love mean to you at this current moment?
This moment? Because I literally just had a conversation with a young lady. I do this question. It's great. Next question. Yeah, I mean, over the summer, been hanging one young lady, trying it out. I call it a probationary period of 90 days. She doesn't really like that, but I just learned those first 30 days is all surface, and I got to see you. 90 days gives me a good sample. And if we can see different ranges in temperatures and seasons, if I can straddle a season, get a little in the summertime and a little in the fall, this, because there's difference in just mental capacity and all that. So I've been trying that out. I think it's done. We didn't make it to 90 days, but there's something happening. I don't know. During the pandemic, it was fun. I didn't follow all the protocols. Might be our last time on Earth.
Oh, you was doing it all. You was getting that doomsday sex. Like, we won't make, who knows what's gonna happen?
You gotta repopulate.
It's up to me and you.
So yeah, there was some occasions of that, but I think overall I'm just in a better, I think I'm in one of my best places I've been in life, and this is even probably throughout Shadow Lounge days, you know, just you think about getting older, but then finally you're there, and then you're like, if you can like if things are more stable and secure, then it, like all these things are kind of falling in place. And bought a house.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a big step, yeah.
Yeah, I did it strategically because of the pandemic. And I was like, worst case scenario, zombie apocalypse. And then I was like, all right, let's work back from zombie apocalypse. Because I was like, they said this thing is going to be 2 weeks. It's June now. but yeah, no, it's good. I think once you're in a good space, and that allows you to enjoy, another person.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling pretty good. So we'll see what materializes.
Do you still feel optimistic? I mean, in general because you're 40. Once you hit 40, things start to change. They really do. Your body changes. You know, both clearly both of our hairlines have changed.
Yeah. But my hair just gravity pulled it into my beard.
Are you still optimistic about falling in love? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that would be an ideal situation, although I'm not known as a romantic or emotionally available person. I forget which one they say it is, more or less. working on getting better. I still like the idea. I think my end goal, you know, is companionship as you get older. You know, one of my biggest fears is like just even in my house by myself, you know, most of the time here, minus the cat, you know, just doing something dumb and like head and pass out on the toilet. You know, it's just, you don't want to go a certain way. I need someone here that can reposition myself, reposition the crime scene, and delete my browsing history. Like, I want that to be my final words. Like, yo, clear all that. Breaking my laptop. Like, why won't he take this life-saving pill? Hold on. In case the pill don't work. What's the percentage increase of that being on the top three things of someone's mind as they're dying in the last 20 years?
So when I died a couple years ago, I was like, just bring me my computer. Like, literally, like, I need my MacBook. Make sure
just real quick.
I need my MacBook and my phone. Just give me those two things. Just put them in the bag.
Taking out chips, breaking. Like your dying moments, you become a spy. All of a sudden, you work for the CIA.
Daddy, why you got this speaker magnet?
This one computer chips.
Bite a secret tooth in your mouth and just slip out.
We turn into James Bond.
Who's Pinky XL?
So yeah,
shout out to Pinky XL.
So my end goal, you want to be with someone and whatever form that is. I don't necessarily need to be married. That doesn't, I'm 0-1. So I found out that it's easier to trick me into a long-term relationship than like give me a title. I think as soon as I get a title on something, it's like being backed up against the wall or something. Like, I feel like the freedoms are about to collapse around me.
Do you think the pressure changed? Is it a pressure thing?
Yeah. I've definitely looked up and been hanging out with a friend for 13 months. Like, no, it's just my friend. Like, you have any other friends? No, just
this one. That's your girl.
That's when we break up.
Yeah.
I could look up and be 20 years, like, we just cool.
Yeah. I'm going to kick it from now on. I'm be straight kicking it.
It's like, I don't know. Yeah. So I think I learned that about myself. So going forward, I'm like, I let that be known. I like the dating, like after 40, because, you know, time isn't necessary on the upswing with us. You know, we're getting closer. Although I think I got a good 50 years left. So I will say that. Not the halfway point yet.
You just found weed. You'll be fine. Yeah. You're gonna look. I mean, literally, like, you're talking. I got a bottle of bourbon like right by me. Like, I'm gonna go before you. I'm going for sure.
I stopped with us. I cut back a lot of alcohol, but yeah, it's like I don't want to waste time on the surface dancing. Like, I want to see all your little points of, like, you know, determinative factors. Like, can't smoke. If you're a smoker, hey man, beautiful, that's great, but I'm not doing that, you know, and just. That needs to be like first, second date conversations. Because I'm one to be like, oh, for real? Okay, yeah, we can just end this right now because I don't want to waste my time. 3 months, 6 months, and then you find out something. And it's like, I don't got time to waste.
No, you get the deal breakers out of the way, right?
Yeah, out the way. And you just move. Hey, nothing against you. Great, see you around. And just keep moving.
Are you on any dating apps?
I was until recently decided to hang out exclusively with this person. I was on the Tinder, got off of that. The
Tinder.
That's the gutter.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
the gutter.
You know, I was just asking Holly about Tinder. Was that Friday, Holly? I was asking about Tinder.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. Yeah. I was asking for a friend. And
so I went to Bumble and had some luck on there. And then last year signed Fiona, she was telling me, she was like, sign up on Hinge. And I put on Hinge and I mean, I was like, oh, like I got a lot of attention. Most of these time, like the ladies getting 1,000 likes a day, a dude maybe 2 likes a week. You know, we're not getting whistled at walking down the street. But Tinder, it was like a lot. And I had like, at some point, like 5 different conversations going. People in Central PA, Eastern Ohio, Pittsburgh, and then I remember who I was talking to. That like scroll through the I told her that. This is the social worker.
It was too much math.
Oh man, it became too much.
Do you feel that like because of your history in the city, and now that you're single, do you feel like it's like when you get on those apps, it's like, oh, I remember that. I owe you some pussy. You know what I mean? Like, are you getting a lot of like old school, like, you know, I didn't have a chance then, but now I got a chance. I might have a chance now.
Not too much that young lady that just was hanging out with, this summer, I actually met her on Hinge and we matched. And she messaged me and was like, Justin, a whole bunch of exclamation points. And I just went, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And she was like, oh my goodness, you don't remember me. And I was like, but she was, you know, 9 years younger.
Yeah.
Kellen of Shadow, been like 23, 24. And I was like, sorry, don't remember. But she would remind me of that constantly. So yeah, you run into people you know, it's definitely been some folks from the lounge that, you know, never got together with, and you get together later years. So. But the apps are good. Go, I mean, I would just get on Hinge. Don't Hinge or Bumble. Don't mess with anything lower than that. Like, don't go on OkCupid. Like, you're not 12.
Nah. Mm-mm.
What's your profile say?
My profile, I can't remember. But if I were making a profile, I like people that are busy. Like, you gotta be busy. Somehow work better with ladies that do not work 9-to-5s, or at least if you work 9-to-5, have like another hustle. Because the ones that,
like a fine ass Uber driver.
Yeah, there's something where like there's like every day is like a new thing, or you work on a project, and then I get to see you do that project and have it come to fruition, and maybe I bounce my ideas off. Like, I like that. Five sitting at home waiting for me to get done my day, and when I wake up, I never know how my day is gonna go. I got limited amount of availability, I would say, but you can have the most of it. That would be my profile. And don't smoke.
And you have to like gummies.
Yeah, I'm into it now.
I've been sipping and watching the moonlight lately. That's me with it. But I gave up weed like 2 years ago. So, you know, I may go back to the medicinal. They got some stuff in Cali. They got stuff for everything in Cali. So when I first got through, I realized I was smoking garbage my whole life. Like, I could have smoked the bag that it came in, because I was doing it all wrong. When I got out there, I met a cat. I guess he's legendary. It was my first night, the first night like I went out in Santa Barbara, and I went to the little dive bar, to the service industry bar. And there was this cat named Chad who introduced me to Hippie Dave. He's like legendary or whatever. And I met him, and he's like, "Where are you from?" I'm like, "I'm from Pittsburgh." And he said, "Put out your hand and close your eyes." I'm like, "First off, dude, let me slow your roll right there, partner." Softball, literally, like I had on cargo shorts, and he gave me a softball size, literally a ball. It was so sticky, it just stuck together. A weed, I know what to do with it. Like, you know,
it was like candy corn popcorn.
Yeah, it was imagine a candy in Jamaica. The caramel popcorn ball. Yeah, it was that size. And I realized I couldn't walk home. I wasn't drunk. I just forgot how to walk. You know, I realized I was doing it wrong. I remember one time. So enjoy the gummies. I'm not judging you.
No. Enjoy. So these I get from Las Vegas, 50 milligrams. I only do half. And then my friend was like, "Yo, don't do the whole. No. Just do the half." So the second day, I friends were over around the porch. I give them gummies. I'm like, "Just do half." They're like, "What do you do?" I was like, "I'm doing the whole thing." And did the whole thing. I mean, I was on my porch. At some point, whenever I came back from whatever universe I went to, sitting there on the porch in a chair, everything just felt heavy. And it was like I could feel gravity. Like, I could feel it pull on me. And I was trying to walk in the house, and everything was just like like I was doing an International Space Station walk.
Yeah.
they were leaving and I'm like hugging the molding on the wall by the door, like think I'm about to just fall into the earth. Then they left and I forgot I didn't wrap the chicken wings up. And then I go into the kitchen and I say, all right, I open the drawer and I'm like, this is saran wrap. I put that down, go to fresh, the chicken's in there. I pull it, I open it. I'm like, the chicken out. And I think I got real horny. I like humped the couch.
Shadow of love, ladies and gentlemen.
You take the man out the shadow line, but you can't stop that man from on the couch. From fucking stay away from couches.
That story went off. That went somewhere. Like, I thought you were going to say, like, I got horny, I called my girl up. Like, not with old couchy here.
Fuck that couch up. I just do half.
You know.
If I did this whole thing, I'll be like,
Scotch Guard. man. No, I, you know.
There's leather couch at that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Good old Clorox wipe.
So as we wrap up, Justin, what advice would you have for people when it comes to love? Like, what would be your advice that you would give out there?
My advice was definitely learn first to like yourself. And then you got to know who you are before you start inviting other people over, fix those hole in the floor so they don't fall through. So there's a lot of at the times I think we rush or we get confused on what we're experiencing in the younger years. We think it's love and it's maybe just lust or whatever. You run into these situations and we're not prepared ourselves. So it's like, get prepared yourself and eventually you'll find love. And just make sure you hang on to them so you can grow old and you can delete your browser history before you die.
And only take half the gummy.
And buy a leather couch. Yeah, buy a leather couch. Make sure
this has been sponsored by Clorox Wipes.
Well, this has been awesome. I want to thank Justin for joining us today. We'll definitely have you back and thank my co-host, Ernest. And just a reminder out there that if you find yourself in darkness, we hope it's in the shadow of love.